Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man with cellulite, Candlex everywhere. I'm Rob Cicerito. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our first Monday night live edition of our Big Brother Canada 5 recap. I'm very excited and very pumped up for this show tonight because, one, I have never done a night of Big Brother Canada recaps. At least I don't think so in the 5 years of Big Brother Canada, that they had always been on the schedule of Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, which were all bad nights for me in terms of podcasting. But a Monday night, this is something I can handle, and I'm very excited because I feel like it's the middle of the summer to be back with these two guys that I've not podcasted with in quite some time. It's everyone's favorite friendship manse in podcasting. First, let me welcome back a man that I got to see in New York at the Live Know-It-Alls. Please welcome back the virtually human, realistic Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, you were with me the last time that we recorded a podcast, and we were called out, Jordan in particular, for bullying Alex. So, yes. Yeah, I don't know if you were part of that or if you saw that, but I mean, we really need to be careful.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, I did see the thread and the video. job well done on that, Taryn.
Thank you.
I think that Dom reading the captions was all really great.
So, it was perfect.
Yeah, so
he was so excited to read it.
Alex can get a night off from being bullied by the LFC tonight as he returns back to LA. And then I'm very excited to be talking with a man who did a fantastic job filling in last week as the anchor of the Happy Hour coverage. Brent, welcome out. Brent, how are you?
What's up, Rob? Taryn, I'm going to talk like Gary. Let's go out and get some women, yeah? Come on, let's talk straight. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dying when he did
yes,
that.
Let's go. Finally. All right. So, Brent, very excited to talk with you. I have missed getting to do a podcast with you, but I really did think you did a great job last week. Yes. So, very fun podcast all around. And I'm really excited to talk about a interesting week here in Big Brother Canada. As a lot of people, we came into the season thinking, okay, it's going to be the Netta and Cass running stuff. And now here we are. Week three, where Netta has Cass firmly in her sights, and we'll see how the rest of the week plays out. So we are live, of course. If you are watching us, you can participate in this conversation if you have not seen one of the Big Brother shows that I am hosting. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. We're going to take your questions in the show. We're going to talk about everything from the latest episode of Big Brother Canada through the Monday night airing, and then we'll get into the stuff beyond on the live feeds with Taryn and Brent, and they will go into everything and project how the rest of this week is going to play out. So very excited about that. And again, if you're watching us on either the website or just listening to us on the website, these shows are all in our Rehapup feed that is available on iTunes. Go to robiswebsite.com/rehapups or in our Big Brother podcast feed at robiswebsite.com/BB podcast. All right. So, Brent, I guess we have to start with you. You are the biggest Cass fan, certainly on the panel. I don't think that's a controversial take. Cass was even mentioning you on the feeds today. So I think we need to check in with you at this hour. It looks like a bad spot for Cass as Netta has really got her in her sights on the nomination block.
Yeah, not a good spot for Cass. I will say that she's been playing a really messy game. Look, I'm not totally blind. I can see what's going on in the Big Brother Canada house. I see what's going on with Cass's game. You know, I know we didn't get to see the week one feeds, so some people have pushed back a little bit on Twitter with me that, you know, Cass maybe... I've been arguing that maybe this is more one-sided with Cass as far as the jealousy thing with Netta goes, but some people on Twitter have pushed back and said, well, maybe, you know, week one we didn't really see what was happening. Maybe Netta did say some things, but I'm inclined to think that Cass just opened her mouth one too many times, said one too many names, and somebody like Netta is just not going to hold back if she gets power. So that's where we stand right now.
Taryn, one of the things that was confusing to me was that there was a bit of hearsay where it was that Cass supposedly said that she was going to backdoor Netta, and it didn't even seem like that was a fully formed plan, but just something she might have said along the way. Do we know if that was actually said? Is that actual information?
Yeah, it was interesting that we didn't see it, because Cass has had said that, yeah, I did tell Gary that that was something that I was thinking of. I think she said specifically she had only told Gary, though she may have also told Ika, if I am remembering correctly. But yeah, it is something that she had said.
Okay. Now, Taryn, you had talked about a week ago that you liked this idea of Netta getting an HOH, and you felt like that this was going to be very important for her to sort of establish her game, an early HOH, so that she could have done something at the end of the game if she's standing there in the final two this time. Do you like the way that this week has gone and started for Netta? We'll get into more from the live feeds later.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I was still in New York when I was told the spoilers that Netta had won HOH, and my immediate thought was, yes, this is perfect for her. She'll want to take out Cass. It's an easy person to take out. She'll probably put Jackie up right next to her. This is a great spot for her. I immediately got some pushback from the people I was with at the time, but I really think this is the best move for her, and I think she's executing it really well. It's basically textbook, the way that she brought in Jackie, turned her against Cass, brought in Cass, got her to reveal a bunch of information, and then used it against her to bury her. It's all been really, really well executed.
Now, let me just play devil's advocate here, because I do think it's a net positive for Netta to a Netta positive to get Cass out of the game. But with the people that were up there with her at the end of that HOH, you know, Gary is a wild card, but Kevin is a reliable ally. Wouldn't it have been better if she could have gotten Cass out of the game and not gotten that blood on her hands directly, considering this is a very long game of Big Brother?
It's certainly possible, but you definitely don't want to take the chance of Gary winning that, because she definitely cannot trust Gary. And also, I think, again, like, the idea that she's safe until jury really puts a lot of doubt into people's minds, especially toward the end of the game. And people like Kevin and Bruno were talking this week about, like, wow, she really didn't have to win that, and she did, and she won it for us, and they're feeling even more loyal to her. Not that that will matter much down the line, but it does matter right now.
Because, Brent, the way I'm looking at it from the Bruno and Kevin side of things, I'm like, boy, things are looking great for Bruno and Kevin. They're barely on the show. Netta is going to be taking all these bullets here. Yes, she's safe for a few more weeks. That she's doing the dirty work, taking out Cass. I feel like that if I was going to be betting on Netta winning the game, I would love her to be more in the Bruno and Kevin position.
Yeah, look, I'm sort of torn about this. I see, at least up until the end of the episode, how this is working out for Netta, and Taryn's right. You know, if you're going to win HOH, this is the way you do it. This is the way you play it. You couldn't have written it up any better. Having said that, I was in the camp that I felt like she should not have won HOH, and here's why. I feel like she has a massive target coming into the house, reminded by the fact that she got this immunity. So she's also popular with Canada, and the house guests know that, all right? But having said that, her target was shrinking somewhat. I even called her wallpaper at some point. Some people on Twitter were very bored with her and even complaining, like, why did you guys give her this twist? You knew she was going to be wallpaper when you gave her the twist. Having said that, I just feel like it would have been better for her not to win HOH, because there were already multiple targets forming in the house, and now I feel like she's reminded people, oh my God, she's that good. You know, oh my God, she really is that amazing. I will say that she may ultimately be saved by the fact that there are so many pairs in the house right now that people may ultimately be so busy trying to break up all of those pairs that they may leave her by the wayside if she is able to get Cass out this week.
Yeah, Taryn, going back to this idea of Netta establishing herself and her dominance in the game early, and don't forget about me, I did like what you were outlining when we were back at Podcast House, but I like the idea more of that she was going to go up on the block and she was just going to get out a pawn. She was going to just say, like, yes, okay, I'm padding my stats. I got an HOH. Let me knock somebody out early. But to make such a bold, aggressive move at this point in the game, and yes, Cass is a threat, but was she a clear and present threat? Like, what did Cass really have in the house? Cass was talking out of school. We should backdoor Netta. But was that actually going to happen? It's sort of like a empty threat in my mind.
It wasn't an empty threat. I mean, Cass was working day and night to try and undermine Netta at every opportunity. Cass is going after Kevin and Bruno, which are two of Netta's closest allies, pretty much only because she can't go after Netta right now. Netta is one of the reasons why there was a grouping of new players who were starting to wise up to the fact that the returning players were banding together and taking them out. By taking Cass out of the equation, Netta has separated Jackie, who is one of the most anti-vet people there, from the rest of that group. She's taken the most manipulative and strongest mind out of that group, and just completely decimated the other side for the most part. She also takes Cass out of the game before jury starts. She has to be worried about the fact that Cass has been talking nonstop about how she thinks she's a better player than Netta, and Netta's jealous of her. You've got to be worried about Cass voting for you in the end if she gets there and poisoning the jury against you. I mean, on top of that, she is an easy target to get out because she's probably not going to win any competitions, and you have 2 weeks of safety just in case anything goes wrong anyway.
And it's a nomination that's supported by the House. That's the other thing, is that I don't think that Netta can win HOH and then get out a pawn with a straight face. Like, I think Bruno and Kevin would just have her ass if she actually said, you know what, I know I won HOH, but I'm going to just go ahead and get Jackie out of the house, or William or Dre out of the house. Once she won HOH, I felt like her hands were tied. She has to take the swing at Cass because Bruno and Kevin are absolutely threatened by her, properly so.
Okay, Brent, well, let's talk about why things have gotten so out of hand for Cassandra. And, you know, we were all impressed with what she did last season. I would just love to get the, you know, honest review from you. Did she do something different this time around? Is it just that the quality of play in the house is that much better here with the returning players, that they know her game? Was she lucky with having Tim around in last season? How do you think that this season is going so differently for Cass?
I think yes to all of those questions. I think she was lucky to have Tim around last time. I feel like listening to Ramsey on Peter's YouTube show, he said we all knew what Cass was doing. She was kind of a crazy player, opening her mouth, saying a lot of things, making a lot of crazy plans. But we just sort of didn't pay attention to her. And I feel like now, because of the caliber of players that they are paying attention to her, Taryn's right, Cass... Yeah, she just opens up her mouth too much. She talks too much. She lets people, and she just spews information everywhere. And I love you, Cass. I know you're eventually going to watch the show, but you just spew information so many places that eventually it's going to make its way back to someone like Netta. When you say something like, well, you know, I thought I was popular enough that I should have won the immunity twist until jury, which, you know, Cass has said to multiple people, including Ika, who runs it right back to Netta. You have to know your audience. You have to know that some of the people that you're talking to are not exclusively loyal to you. And I feel like maybe, I'm not sure, I'm not exactly sure. As far as, you know, comparing last season to this season, why, if she ultimately does go home, why is the result so much different? I mean, Alex reminded me earlier today that Cass came within one vote of being evicted last season before a jury. Of course, one of those votes was Tim, who was sort of playing around with her. But it was fairly close. There were a lot of votes who were against her. So I don't want to say she was just lucky last season, because that's unfair to her. She was a good gamer, but I'm afraid that many of us might have fallen in love with the TV version of Cass and not the straight-up strategic version of Cass, because the latter has left much to be desired.
Taryn, Netta described Cass as being so dangerous because she's so manipulative. Do you think that Netta believes what she was telling us, or was she just trying to do Cass a solid and hype her up to the audience?
I don't think she was hyping her up. I mean, Cass is manipulative, and she's somewhat successful at it, right? Like, she basically, With a lot of players in Big Brother, trying is half of the gets you halfway there. And Cass tries a lot. She has a lot of different plans. She's always hustling, and some of those are going to work. And she is going to bond with people. And so that's really dangerous, especially when she has decent enough awareness to know these are the people that are threatening, and I can use these people to take them out. And I'm going to put ideas in their head. She's somebody that's. You know, when you're comparing Cass to people like Emily and Dylan are just so solid and dull, and they're never going to try to put ideas in people's heads. They just play the game on one level. Cass plays it on a different level, and that's really dangerous if you're somebody like Netta.
Yeah, I will say that Netta, I think she did try to do Cass a solid, Rob, as you say, because I don't really think that she believes some of the stuff that she said to us. You know, she was going on about, you know, Cass played so well last season, and I was a huge fan of her. And although she has repeated some of those things in the house, I do believe that she's aware as a live feeder that, you know, we're watching all the time, and she knows that Cass is really popular, and she also knows that Cass is popular with production. She has mentioned many times up until the nomination ceremony that she is feeling a little bit hesitant to nominate Cass because of the fact that she feels like that ultimately she might be saved by some sort of twist, which I have been begging for on Twitter, by the way. I do feel like that she was hyping her up a little bit just to try to justify to the audience why she's targeting such a popular player.
Yeah. Taryn, do you think that this will ultimately be this sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy where if Cass comes out of the house this week, she will come out and really be like talking about how Netta the whole time was jealous of her, and this was some sort of like, it wasn't necessarily a game move why she wanted her out of the house?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what she's been saying in the house this entire time. So it wouldn't surprise me if she continued that line of thinking afterward. Although I think Cass is probably smart enough to come outside of the house and say, yeah, you know what? Maybe I was a little off there. I know I've said that before about other people and that hasn't been the case, but I think Cass is smart enough to do that.
Yeah, we'll see. So, Brent, what do you think about the way that Cass handled the decision from Netta in terms of, like, she had almost one shot based on what we saw in the episode? And again, you guys know so much more about the live feeds, and I keep reading on Twitter about how much more complicated the feeds are, obviously, than what we see in the show. So please, you know, correct me if I have anything out of order. But it seemed like that Cass was just, like, waiting for her spot to have a conversation with Netta, and she couldn't wait until, like, she kept interrupting when she was talking with Jackie. How do you think that Cass handled sort of like when she starts to really feel like Netta might be nominating her?
Terrible. She was awful, let's be honest. She couldn't have played it any worse, I feel like. She went up there, basically just spewed everything to Netta, saying, you know, I would, what about Jackie? What about Dylan and Emily? What about the French Connection? What about, you know, I think the only person she didn't say was Bruno and Kevin, although she might have at some point. I just feel like she didn't have a sense of, okay, this is what I need to do. Not that anything she said would have changed her fate. This isn't spoiler-ish, but because it was right at the nomination ceremony, but I'll just say really quickly that Aika got mad at Netta because Netta was trying to say, well, you know, this was our decision. We all decided we wanted Cass out. Aika was not really having that. She was like, I would really rather you more have nominated. You know, this is your HOH. She kept repeating that over and over again. So I feel like that even Aika is sensing that maybe this wasn't the right move, but she couldn't do anything about it because Netta is ultimately the one in control.
Okay. I have more questions on this, but I think I'll wait till the live feeds to talk about what.
By the way, I want to say really quickly, there was more than one conversation with Netta and Cass. Netta straight up told Cass she's going on the block. I mean, Cass came back upstairs, I think it was the next day, and talked with her. And Netta said, you know, this is why I'm nominating you. And Cass was like, I think you're making a mistake. And she tried to defuse the situation, saying, I want to work with you and the vets. But the problem is that Cass really hasn't put in the time. I don't know what it is about her and Netta. I think Stina Nitz on Twitter said it's like oil and water. They're just never going to mix. Cass is an emotional, volatile player. Cass is the female version of me, okay? She would just go in the house and raise holy hell. And Netta cannot work with somebody like that.
Oh, I think it's the female version of Taryn.
I know, right? Well, exactly. That's it. I mean, yeah. Netta.
Oil and water. That's your new nickname.
Right? Netta can work with somebody like Taryn because they can see, you know, what's the best move. for this particular week or whatever, and try to take as much emotion as you can out of it. Cass is totally an emotional-based player. I feel like that's how she played last season. She lived for the emotion on it, as you know, as depicted on TV, and she just wasn't able to reconcile that with a player of Netta's caliber.
So, Taryn, in this Clash of the Titans, how has the fan base been reacting? Is it split, or do you feel like that a lot of people on Twitter, and I know it's not ever going to be unanimous, and Reddit, have they sided with Team Cass or Team Netta?
I think it's pretty split. You know, they both had their fan bases going in. Clearly, Netta's was a bit bigger. However, Cass is the underdog here, which gives her a boost. Ooh. So I think Cass probably has the fans behind her on this. However, most of them are, you know, sort of giving up and saying, yeah, she's probably not a great player, but I do still want to see her in the house because she's so entertaining. And then you have people like Brent who are, you know, begging for a twist to keep her there.
Yeah, I am. Like, you know, just to let you guys in on the tea, like I told Taryn before this podcast started, I'm like, look, go easy on me, bitch, okay? Because I know the Cass has been playing a bad game. I get that. Yeah. And we all see that. It's just, look, Rob, here's the thing. It feels like Netta's playing solitaire. Okay, it's not like Cass could even do anything to change her fate at this point if she doesn't win the veto. She can't do a Godfrey-esque speech and stand up in front of everybody and say, look, I'm coming after Netta. Netta, you're my target. Because she can't come after her. Netta's totally immune. So Cass has no play here except to win the damn veto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, Brent, I can certainly understand where you're coming from. And just in case anybody hasn't started this Survivor season, you know, I certainly have some of my favorites in Survivor. And, you know, sometimes they don't go as far as you want them to. And you can be upset about that. That's fine. And sometimes it's because they didn't really play a great game the second time either.
I agree everything Taryn and you have said. Cass has not played a great game. However, I still think there is an element of Netta, and she, even if she won't admit it, that is a little bit jealous of Cass. And it's really unsaid, but to me, there's no real reason to go after Cass here. She can't win anything. Everybody knows she's making deals with everybody, so she doesn't really have anybody, as Netta said. Since she makes alliances with everybody, she really has an alliance with no one. So you're really going to take a swing at one of Canada's most popular players for why?
Okay,
why
so
are
now,
you doing
well, now
that?
I think we're getting to something. Now I think we, I feel like that you were pretty level-headed the whole way through, but now you're opening the door here for the, well, and you know, I do think that maybe Netta is a little jealous of Cass here at the
An
end.
An element. It's there.
Well, but again, like for what it's worth, this was exactly my first thought for what Netta should do if she won HOH. So I don't think that there's no reason. I think there are lots of reasons, and it's exactly the move I would have made. So I don't think we should say it necessarily means that she has jealousy in there just because she did the move.
So I think what we really established is that if Taryn ever gets HOH, Brent is going on the block. Like we've really
100%.
Yes, because so people like Cass and Brent, they're impossible to work with. I've seen Cass try to talk with people like Kevin, and Kevin tries to reason with her, and it just doesn't work. And the same thing happened with people in her last season, like Mitch. They try to talk to her, they try to reason with her, but it doesn't matter. She doesn't operate by the same rules. So it's like, you just, how can you work with somebody like that, especially if they're already against you?
Okay, let's talk about some of the other players in this game besides just Netta and Cass tonight. I think that Gary is a really interesting player in this season, because as we saw it with the you know, all of the returning veterans that are working together with Dimitri's, he's not part of that, but he does seem like that. I do like that this new version of Gary, he's coming off as very wise. We see him like often like pulling somebody aside, like, look, let me just give you a piece of information. He doesn't seem like he's necessarily like in the loop. He's on the radar, certainly, but I feel like that he's doing a pretty good job so far. Taryn, could you give us your thoughts on Gary pre-nominations?
Yeah, you know, Gary has been doing much better than he did in his previous season. I think he's definitely learned a lot from his time away from the show. I don't know if he talked to a lot of people, if he just picked it up from watching, but he's definitely a lot more aware of things. He's working intentionally on making strong bonds with key individuals. However, he's not completely out of the spotlight. I think the edit definitely hyped him up a bit more than it should have. He definitely is one of the people that is on the radar for a lot of the veterans because of how threatening he is, how physical he is, and he has had some outbursts that have put him, again, on the radar a bit more than he should have, but definitely a better player than he had been in the past.
And Brent, the show is certainly pro-Gary. I know that this was a conversation that was had by you guys quite a bit going into the season. How big of a deal is Gary? Big Brother Canada loves Gary, and they have been portraying him in a number of different flattering ways, and they always, almost every episode, that he has a segment.
Yeah, he not only had the segment with Dylan, which informed his strategic game, but also the segment on the HOH where he was, you know, making poses. And I even noticed it on Thursday's show where he was like standing in a particular pose while he was in the damn box. Like, I mean, everything's about Gary with Gary, but he has found a way within the house to let other people know that he will listen to them, and he will, you know, he likes to make, as Terrence says, bonds with them. I will say that it does seem like maybe his game is catching up with him a little bit, because I know that Netta and her allies were talking about, like, you know, when I make these nominations, it's going to be Cass and Jackie. If one of them come down, Gary's one of the possibilities to go up, because they're all aware of the fact that he is playing a remarkable game this time, and because when he talks to people, he doesn't give out much information. He just takes it all in.
So, in terms of the vets versus the newbies, we heard Netta herself talk about when she was talking, I think, with Dylan and Emily about what do we want to do here? Like, vets versus newbies, that's just so boring. We had the same thought coming into the season. We thought it was going to be the vets banding together. We've seen a lot of, you know, vet on vet violence so far these last couple of weeks. Taryn, do you think that this could continue, or at some point does this just turn into some sort of pagonging of the newbies?
I don't think that it's going to be vets versus new players. Probably ever. There's definitely an alliance of five vets that is, you know, plus Dimitri's, that is going to probably continue to do pretty well unless something goes wrong for them next week. But they have a lot of people on the other side that are with them and that can be used as pawns. And I think they'll turn on each other before they pagong those pawns. So I don't think it'll ever be that way. So even though Netta, I think, is trying to manipulate Emily and Dylan in that moment, I think it's actually probably pretty true, especially with Gary, again, being on the radar pretty soon. We could see another vet leaving in the next couple of weeks.
It's so interesting just in terms of that the way that the gameplay has evolved to this season, where it really is like, why is anybody wasting an HOH on the newbies? Like, they're not threats. They're just like these like adorable little puppies that are in the house, but they're not really a threat to anybody. And I kind of wonder if we might see that if we get a vet HOH, that's when we'll get like a triple eviction or something like that, and just like lose a bunch of them like in one fell swoop. But I feel like that at some point, Brent, that they're gonna really outnumber the vets in the house.
Yeah, and that's what I'm worried about. I mean, my horror scenario is all of the vets basically evicting each other, going after each other, obviously starting last week with Dallas and now Netta going after Cass. If that ultimately happens, I feel like we could get to a place where it's the targets versus the non-targets, or the good players versus the rest, you know, because there are a finite number of what I would call good players currently in the house. And I feel like the house is aware of that. Like, I feel like they are self-aware enough to know that, you know, Bruno, Kevin, Netta, and I don't know, I guess that's about it. But these people are in the house. By the way, those are the three people who Alex said would win at the end of the season. I just feel like that I'm worried that they're going to cut each other off to a point where ultimately the newbies have so much power and so much numbers that they're like, why don't we all just go to the end together? I'm worried about that. I hope that doesn't come to pass.
Yeah, Taryn, it does feel weird because it's a odd situation where every season in Big Brother Canada, seemingly, you know, we sort of get like a majority alliance, like the first five group that comes to power early. They look dominant. They look like they're going to run the table, and we hate them, and we root for the house to flip over, and it's very exciting. But here, that I think that probably most fans, and unless you know that the cast enthusiasts are going to really turn on this group, I feel like that a lot of the Big Brother fans are going to be rooting for this group with Netta and Kevin and Bruno and Ika and Cindy and even Dimitri's. And Brent's shaking his head no. But I think that a lot of people are. It, doesn't that feel like a weird way to have the season structured where we are going to potentially, is it even possible that we're going to be rooting for in the same way that maybe, you know, that people are rooting for the bullying of Alex to stop? That, are we going to start rooting for William and Dylan and Emily
and
Dre and Karen? Is that are they going to ultimately become the fan favorites?
It's definitely interesting because you're right. Normally, the French Connection, Dre and William right now would be the fan favorites by far because they are the underdogs. They are like, man, we can't keep letting them, you know, storm us like this. We need to fight the power. Instead of the power being the obnoxious people that you hate, it's Netta and Kevin and Ika and all these people that you loved going into the season. So I think it's definitely going to be a lot more split. And maybe that makes for a better season that we don't hate one side so much, even though they're dominating, because maybe they continue to dominate and maybe that's no fun. Right. So I do think that, you know, people watching the next HOH this week, they're going to be rooting for people like Dre and William to win because they want to see a shakeup, despite the fact that it could mean that somebody like Ika or Gary or Kevin or whoever goes home.
Brent, or is the more likely scenario that this group of the core six, do we see a split there? Do we see Bruno and Kevin go their own separate ways and Netta and Ika go their own separate ways and we have some sort of a civil war in the core six?
I feel like it will come, there will be a split between the six if ultimately Gary is in danger, because I feel like Gary is Kevin's ace in the hole. Kevin even called him that on the live feeds earlier today when he was talking to the live feeders. I'm getting into spoilers. But generally speaking, Kevin and Gary have a good relationship where even pre-nominations, they were sharing information back and forth, even though they are substantively on opposite sides of the house. So I don't know if Kevin is willing to let Gary go. And I know that some of the pre-show drama between Netta and Gary, insofar as the sideshow goes, that has carried over into the house and is at least everybody's kind of aware of it. So I don't ultimately know where that's going to come down. You know, obviously, Netta can't be HOH next week, but if somebody she is close to is able to get power and target Gary, I wonder what will happen then.
I want to start to get into the live feeds. Scott St. Pierre standing by. Just give me a heads up if we have any questions that are not having to do with the live feeds, and then otherwise we'll switch gears. Can you guys just tell me one thing with Dylan and Emily? Is that a romance, a flirtmance, or a friendship mance, Taryn?
It's a Dylan is in love with Emily mance. She has not really reciprocated, but she has not also like completely rejected him, that sort of thing. I don't think it'll really go anywhere, but he is like obsessed with her.
Yeah.
He's totally head over heels.
She's a smart girl. She's got him in the palm of her hand, and I don't think that neither one of them are going anywhere anytime soon. By the way, Rob, Dylan is or knows John, Netta's former boyfriend, the one who cut her at the final three.
Oh, I remember.
Outside.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure. Well, there's a couple different Johns. I just want to make sure we know who we're talking about. Dylan knows him outside of the house. So I feel like that Netta does want to make sure that Dylan stays in the house. And Ika has even voiced this, that they're aware that Dylan knows John and that they think that Netta wants to keep Dylan in the house so that he can be in jury and ultimately vote for her to win in the end. Because even though Netta and John broke up, they're still in good terms. And I know John's rooting for Netta.
Boy, people are getting so far ahead of themselves.
I know, right?
I'm worried about this for Netta, Taryn, that it seems like too cut and dry for Big Brother. It's such a windy, twisty road that I think that I don't want to be insulting, but to think that, you know, that you can see that far ahead, that there's that much visibility.
You know, I mean, what else is she going to do?
Yeah.
I feel like she's trying to. I feel like she's trying to insulate herself as much as possible. Don't you, Taryn? I feel like that she's aware that there could be twists. In fact, she knows there's going to be twists. I mean, she got handed one in the first freaking episode or second episode, so she knows that there's going to be other landmines coming down the line. I feel like she's always making sure that there's going to be another target in the house before her, and that insofar as all these pairs, my question is, are the pairs going to come together and realize, let's get out? It's like blood versus water all over again. Are the pairs going to come together and realize, we need each other, let's get rid of these people who don't have anybody? Or are they just going to let themselves continue to get picked off by the singles?
Who are the pairs? Dylan and Emily, the French Connection?
Yeah, Kevin and Bruno are obviously a pair. Kevin even said, and they've even said to each other, that if ever one of them is on the block and they win the veto, they're going to use it hands down. They'll never vote against each other. And I do believe that Kevin believes that. Dylan and Emily, Dre and William, obviously the French Connection. Ika and Dimitris, they're definitely a pair, and I think everybody's kind of waiting for them to get into a showmance. Uh-oh. Kevin said earlier today that he's hoping they get into a showmance. Yeah. So that it will create a bigger target on them. Sorry, I know I keep saying things that are on the feeds today, but I'm trying not to spoil the ultimate outcome here. And I feel like, you know, somebody who we haven't even mentioned, Cindy, she's with like basically nobody. I mean, she was sort of in a little bit of a love triangle at the beginning of the series in week one and week two with Ika and Dimitris, but that's gone the way of the dinosaur, and Cindy's definitely by herself.
Yeah. Good for Cindy. I mean, she's really,
I know, right?
We did not think that this was even a possibility for her in this season, that she's barely on the show. But
well, both Gary and Cindy, because Godfrey famously had that bet on Twitter where he's like, I'll bet $100 that Cindy's going to be the first one out.
Yeah, or he
and
said,
here we are.
I'm so happy for Cindy. I'll see you next week or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's take a couple of questions and then let's do the live feeds. So why don't we start things off with Mr. K17. Do you feel like the inexperience level of the newbies is an unfair advantage for these shark level vet gamers? Taryn, I'm interested to know your take on it, but I feel like that it's almost been like a fun element to this season where it's like that the vets are like toying with the newbies, but it's been in a fun way where they're not just ganging up on them.
Yeah, I mean, the new players are basically the pawns in the game, and they're being moved around and pit against each other, but they're being used against the other vets. So it's kind of like, you know, like a chess game, essentially. And I hate that metaphor for Big Brother, but it really is this season, at least so far. And the question is, and I think you've asked this, you know, do the pawns eventually gang up on with each other against their masters, essentially? And, you know, people like, again, like Dre are really, you know, gung-ho for that. They really want to, you know, cause an uprising. But those are the people who might, you know, somebody like Dre could ultimately unite the vets together against the pawns. So you have to be very careful about how you go about that.
Okay. Brent, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I feel like that they all need to get on the same page, though. I think there are people like Karen and Emily and Dylan who are sort of under the spell, even Dimitris, who's sort of under the spell of the vets. And they need to get out from under that, because you've got to play your own game in the house. I will say that coming into the season, Dre was one of the people that I felt like I really didn't care to see, because she was one of these people that said, I would rather be loved by Canada and lose the game. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I hate people like that. They get in the house. But she has proven to be a hungry, savvy competitor. She's not playing a perfect game. She's playing a little bit too out there, but and she's on people's radar, but she's definitely someone who, for me, is fun to watch in the house.
Okay.
Dre is probably one of the smartest new players there.
The
unfortunate part is that she's not smart enough to hide how smart she is. And she's very out there in the open, and she's very visible for the vets to see that she's a very threatening player. Dimitris, on the other hand, I think is playing very well. He's really surprised me in terms of what I expected him from the pregame and what I saw from him on his HOH week, where there was a lot of back and forth. But he really has been a steady figure, and he's the only new player that's truly integrated himself with these veterans. He's obviously not going to be targeted first by the new players. He's not going to be targeted by the veterans anytime soon. So unless he like really just loses his game into Ika, I'm really, you know, optimistic about his chances here.
Yeah, he's a really cool customer, I have to say, because Dimitris has been taking so much flack from Ika, even before the nominations, where she was like, you know, we shouldn't have let Dallas go home. That was a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. Why did you put him up? Of course, he was the one who nominated Dallas. And he's like, he was really cool about it. He's like, look, how much longer are you going to hold this against me? She's like, until the end of time. And he's like, okay, uncle. You know, so he's the yin to her yang.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's able to balance that,
Brent,
well enough.
What went wrong between Cass and Dimitri's that we all remember from the first week where Cass is like, okay, here's what you need to do. You go up to Dylan and you start this big fight. And it looked like, okay, this is going to be a pair. These are going to be two people that are working together. And it seems like that he is not super interested in Cass staying in the house.
What happened is Ika and her body. I mean, Dimitri's just loves Ika.
It was too hot.
Seriously. And she's playing it cool right now. So they're an interesting pair. I really like watching them. But I think also nobody really wanted to be associated with Cass after about a week and a half. Once she started spewing, like, you know, and I know I keep using the word spewing, but that's what she's been doing. She just, like, says whatever comes into her mind. She reminds me of myself because, like, I'm kind of like this in real life. You just kind of say whatever you think. You know, Robin, we have talked about that before. And she just, like, was unable to shut her mouth when it came to, you know, I think we should get rid of Bruno, and obviously I want to backdoor Netta, and what about Dylan and Emily? And she can't keep her mouth shut, and that causes her problems. And no one really wanted to be associated with Cass because of that, because they saw that she was not long for this game.
Yeah. Just wanted to follow up on the Dimitri's thing that I think Ika could pretty much tell me to do just anything that would not be in my best interest.
I wonder where you were going with that.
Probably also, that I can, no, I mean, I can't, like, no hating on Dimitri's on that. Nicolette also says, for which players would it actually be beneficial to keep Cass, and is the social capital it would take worth it? Do you want me to flip to the spoilers and then let's talk
Please.
About the vote count?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. All right, so if you're going to be tapping out here, that's going to do it for the non-spoiler portion of the show. I'll be back, of course, next Monday night. And then we'll have different members of the LFC on with me every week, and we'll mix it up. We won't always have oil and vinegar with me every – or was it oil and water? Oil and vinegar
oil
is
and
delicious.
Water.
I had that on my salad today. It was wonderful.
Right?
Yeah, we're definitely not that.
Yeah. But that being said, I'll have an exit interview with whoever comes out of the house this Friday, assuming a twist can't save them. And then maybe I'll even check in with Old Reliable for just a little bit. And, of course, we got everything coming up with Survivor. And The Amazing Race is going to be back this week. So be on the lookout for that. And much like Big Brother Canada, we're going to have the same format where we're going to have The Amazing Race podcast here on the Rehap Ups as well. So make sure you subscribe to that. Okay, let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Now, Biscuit, you're so into the spoilers. You're ready to go.
I haven't been able to dance to that song in so long, Rob.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We should have had it. We should have had it for karaoke.
We should have brought it out. All right. let's get into this. Brent, any hope for Cass?
No.
No. I mean, what's the vote count looking like? Is it going to be a shutout?
Yeah, probably going to be a shutout.
Nobody wants to cross Netta.
Exactly. No one wants to cross Netta, and why should they? It's not like they can save Cass. Look, if Netta wasn't immune, that's why I hate this stupid twist. If Netta wasn't immune, then there's a path for Cass. She could say, you know, keep me. Obviously, you know, I want to go after Netta. She's my target. I absolutely hate her right now. I can't stand it that she put me up. But there's no play for them. Because if they keep Cass, what's she going to do? You're just pissing off Netta, and there's nothing she can do. She'd probably come after them.
Mm-hmm.
So, because she can't go after Netta. Somebody like Bruno and Kevin, no way. Jackie, obviously, is on the block. The French Connection would be willing to vote to save her, but they love Jackie so much. Karen, there's no relationship there with Cass. I mean, my God, does she need a twist to save her and fast?
This podcast is so cathartic for me. Like, Brent is finally agreeing with me about Cassandra. He's ranting and complaining about a twist. It's just like, it's beautiful.
But he needs one.
Right? And I want a twist to balance out the first twist. Because the first twist is what's hindering Cass's game. There's no path for her as long as that twist is in play. So give us another twist. I even tweeted Arissa. I said, give us a twist.
What'd
she
say?
You can't fight fire with fire, Brent.
Yeah. I guess.
No, but Taryn, I do think that that is a thing that Brent's talking about how nobody wants to piss off Netta. I do feel like that she does have like this Queen Cersei type position where, you know, anybody that's going to be crossing her, like they're going to be next on her list.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's what I said when they introduced this twist. I was like, this is a huge advantage, especially for somebody like Netta who knows how to use it.
But I'm not sure if you can win the game that way. I'm not sure if you can win Big Brother by having everybody, you know, cower in fear of you for 10 weeks.
Well, that's why I think the next 2 weeks are really important for Netta, because she needs to blend back into the background. You know, she showed that she has a presence in the game. She made a big move. She showed loyalty to her allies. Now it's time for her to become the wallflower that Brent wants her to be. She's got a full 2 weeks. That's a long time in Big Brother to just completely stop talking, you know, a ton of game, stop getting involved in moves, don't stick her neck out for anyone. She needs to be as quiet as possible. She needs to turn into Cindy, essentially, and just
can
be invisible.
Can she do that, though, Taryn? Do you think that, look, she started Big Brother Canada 2, and she was that person, and then she came out of her shell, and then she became sort of like the gangster by the end of the game that she ultimately was. But here, she is that person from the start. Can she go back to Wallflower after she's had this taste of the action and has blood on her hands, Taryn? I don't know if she can.
I think it's possible. I think that she was showing that she could do it at the beginning of the game before she won this HOH. Obviously, she wanted to win this HOH and get more involved, but she was laying low pretty well before this HOH. And again, like, if she's thinking along the same lines that I am, like she was with the nominations, then hopefully she's thinking this too, and that she needs to, you know, get back under the radar before she becomes vulnerable again. I hope that she can do it. I hope that she's thinking about doing it, and I hope that she can do it. I think she's capable of it. It's just a matter of, is she going to think this is what she needs to do, or is she going to think I need to continue to make big moves, to continue to prove myself?
She has too many fingers in too many pots right now, mm-hmm. and she needs to get out of the damn kitchen, because she's worried about Gary and she's worried about Dre. William was even talking about earlier, today or yesterday, how, you know, he views Netta like a queen, like you can't touch her. And she evidently, and I've only heard her say this a couple times, that, you know, there's no way you can get her out until jury. He was talking with Gary about this, how he feels like Netta acts like she's untouchable. That's not a good look for the house. I just feel like she's going to be in danger the minute her immunity is up. Taryn's right that she needs to be able to go back into to blend back into the game and allow other targets to emerge. And I don't know that she's willing to do that now that she's got just a tiny bit of HOHitis.
Yeah,
and she's, sorry, she's perfectly positioned to do it too, right? Because she has Bruno and Kevin, who are already doing a lot of work because they're out in front. They need to do work to save themselves right now. It's their butts on the line with Cass on the block, with Gary coming, you know, coming for Bruno, yeah. and other people, you know, coming for both of them. They need to do work, so she can easily push them out to do work for her. She's got Ika, who's willing to run around and do anything.
Double agent.
Exactly. Yeah. And Cindy, who I think has been laying low, but I don't think it would take much to push Cindy out into the forefront and say, look, Cindy, you need to be doing some stuff. I think that's probably something that Netta is capable of doing. And then Netta can sit back at that point and let other people do the work for the next 2 weeks, and they will be out in front.
One thing about this twist is that it's really hurting Kevin and Bruno, I feel like,
yes.
because there are people who are willing to go after Netta, but they can't. So what's the next best option? Let's go after Kevin and Bruno. So like, the twist does more than just keep Netta safe. It also puts other people in danger who are associated with them. So the one thing, though, that is positive, though, from Netta's point of view, and I guess sort of from our point of view, is that it forces Kevin and Bruno to be loyal to Netta. Like, they're not disloyal to her at this point. They really enjoy playing the game with her, and I'm wondering how much that's going to carry over once jury starts.
But I love their position so much, and especially the fact that they outnumber her also.
I worry that they're becoming too powerful for Netta. I want Netta to keep an eye on how much power Bruno and Kevin are accumulating by way of Dylan and Emily. Dylan and Emily, although they like Netta quite a bit, I feel like they're ultimately more loyal to the boys, Bruno and Kevin, and that I don't want Netta to find herself on the wrong end of the house if the house splits again in some way.
Yeah, these next two weeks are so huge for her. She's got to get back into the weeds. And if we're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, next week, Ika's HOH and Netta is making a big push for something. I think it's the beginning of the end for her. And we might look back and say that this week was the beginning of the end for her to go out and get so visible. I just think it's such a difficult thing to do, to have that taste of the action where she's had that one more taste of candy, and now she's off her diet now. Forget it. Now she's going to be, you know, putting targets on everybody in the HOH room. And I think it's very hard to turn it off once she turned it on.
In defense of Netta, though, the only person who's really saying anything about Netta was Cass. So now that if Cass is ultimately, and by the way, this is a spoiler section, obviously Cass didn't win the veto. William won the veto. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to say that at the beginning. Once Cass is out of the house, Netta's going to be, she's going to feel, although she shouldn't, but she's going to feel like she's home free.
Okay, so William won the veto, correct? Was there any sort of talk, Taryn, that did any talk about whether he was going to use it? Not on Cass, but even on Jackie?
There was some talk. Dre talked to him a little bit. The problem was he already has two allies up on the block in Jackie and Cass to some extent. And if he uses the veto on Cass or Jackie, then Dre would probably go up, or maybe Gary would go up. But the possibility that Dre would go up, Dre was concerned about that. So Dre eventually was like, actually, maybe you should not do this at all.
Actually, and this is some really good work, and not to interrupt you, but this is some really good work by Gary, because Ika told Gary that you will be the replacement nominee. Gary was aware of that. So he made sure, doing some really savvy work, that William was scared that Dre was going to be the replacement nominee, even though he knew himself he would be the replacement nominee. So Gary made sure that William was unwilling to use the veto, which he ultimately did not use, because he wanted to make sure that he was scared enough that his ally, the other part of the French Connection, Dre, would ultimately go on the block, when in reality Gary knew it was himself that would go up on
the block. And he also did some work with Netta to try and get her to put Dre up in his place, which was somewhat successful, but again was also a little see-through. And so Netta was like, that was kind of sketchy, but I still might put Dre up on the block, because she is pretty threatening too.
Yeah. So armed with that information, Gary has all these connections to these newbies and to Kevin. Brent, is Gary planning any sort of coup?
Is he planning a coup? No. I feel like there's more of a coup being planned against Gary. I feel like Bruno and Dylan and Emily and Netta, they all want Gary out of the house. The whole thing with the sideshow is carrying over into the house. I can't believe they're talking about it. I kind of felt like it was more of a rumor. I'll tell everybody what happened. What?
Yeah.
Yes.
The dress.
Yes. Believe it or not, yes. They still, Netta and Gary
not
still have issues.
Not since the white and gold and blue and black dress has divided so many people.
It was, for those who don't know, Netta was coming on the sideshow. That was obviously, Gary and Peter were the hosts at that time. Netta had a yellow dress. Gary was going to wear yellow on this particular episode. Ultimately, Gary got his way, and the stage manager told Netta, you can't wear that dress. And Netta was like, F y'all, I'm out of here. So she didn't ultimately do the sideshow that day, and somebody else came on because she was pissed off that she couldn't wear the dress that she brought with her. So all of that stuff has carried over into the house. Gary is aware of the fact that him and Netta don't really get along, and I'm sure he's aware of the fact that he's on her radar if somebody who's close to Netta gets HOH next week.
Yeah. Is he doing enough to repair those bonds? I mean, I feel like it's such a weird situation to be in Big Brother with somebody that you know doesn't like you. I feel like that I would just be spending 24 hours a day trying to repair whatever the problem was. I would just be on damage control the whole time, Taryn.
Well, go ahead, Taryn. Sorry. You can talk about or if you want to talk about Kevin and Gary, because I was going to talk about Kevin and, I started to talk about Kevin and Gary before we started the spoiler section, but go ahead, you can talk about them. I just want to make sure we don't forget. Okay, while you're laughing, I'm going to talk about Kevin and Gary. So Kevin and Gary, if you're going to wait,
just go.
Kevin and Gary, Kevin has had, like I said, he has an ace in the hole when it comes to Gary, and they've been sharing a lot of information back and forth. And I feel like this is where Gary might ultimately be saved, is by Kevin, because Kevin really does like Gary. I feel like they get along. You know, obviously we've talked about the fact that Kevin's sexuality is fluid enough, and Gary has been doing a lot of emotional work with Kevin, where he's like, I want you to let your walls down. I want you to let me in. I really want to go to the final two with you. I do believe that Gary would do that. And Kevin said on the Life Eats today to us, that he would be willing to go to the final two with Gary, and he believes him. So ultimately, if Gary is in danger, I feel like Kevin is his lifeline. Don't you, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin is definitely an ace in the hole. That said, I don't know how far Kevin is willing to stick his neck out for Gary, especially if it comes in the next couple of weeks. I feel like Kevin is somebody that can help Gary down the line. I don't know if he can help him in the short term, which is when he's in danger right now. But if he does get through these next couple of weeks, Kevin will definitely be an asset to him as long as he continues to play Kevin the way that he's been doing. And I do think that Kevin that Gary has the upper hand on Kevin in this relationship, almost similar to the Jordan and Kevin relationship in Big Brother Canada 3. I think that Kevin is more loyal to Gary than Gary is to Kevin. Gary has gone around, especially to people like William, who Kevin is actively trying to get under his wing, and undermined Kevin and done work to ensure that Kevin is loyal only to Gary and he only has Gary. And Gary is also actively trying to get Bruno out of the house. So again, Kevin is reliant on him, whereas Kevin sees Gary as more of a, I want to help Gary wherever I can.
But Kevin has been deflecting. I think, you know, a lot of times when people bring up Gary as a possible nominee for next week, he has been deflecting, like, to Dylan and Emily, saying, you know, well, what about the French Connection? What about William? What about Dre? What about Karen? He's trying to make sure that the target stays off of Gary, and I have noticed that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I feel like Kevin is doing more work for Gary than Gary is for Kevin, for sure.
That's true. That's probably true.
And yeah, you know, going back to Rob's question about Gary and Netta, I feel like what Gary had to do essentially was, you know, go into the house and just pretend that, like, that wasn't even on his radar. You know what I mean? Like, he has to do a ton of work to just be like, that, you know, oh my God, you know, that was so dumb of me. I can't believe I did that. It's so embarrassing. You know, like, it can't ever be anything like, exactly. You can't go in thinking that it has any credibility at all. You can't act like it has any credibility at all. Because if there's even a small amount of doubt in Netta that Gary is still harboring resentment, she can't trust him. And she has to assume that he's going to get her before she can get him.
I feel like the horse is out of the barn on that one, though. I mean, there's no way that this relationship's... it's gone.
Wow. Brent, I hadn't asked you yet. What is Cass's plan to stay in the house? Is she doing anything, or has she sort of gone into poor me mode?
She's gone into poor me mode a little bit. She's been trying to get the votes. Was it yesterday? I think it was. All the days blend together when you're watching the feeds, I tell you, especially when you're someone like me who watches the feeds a lot at night. Her and Ike had a conversation where I think Cass, maybe up until today, thought that she might be able to actually get 6 votes. 11 people are voting this week. She needs 6 in order to stay. Ika had this funny conversation with Cass where she was like, they were sort of out in the open, and Ika was telling her, you know, I just want to let you know, you don't have the votes, and I'm not going to throw you a vote just to make myself look bad. And Cass was sort of winking at her, like thinking that it's not really what's happening. So it was this situation where Cass feels like Ika isn't telling the truth, but Ika really is telling her the truth. Mm-hmm. So then they eventually go into the storage room and they talk. And that was a really tense conversation because Ika, playing a good game here, was saying, look, the house is against you. You don't have the votes. And so Cass was trying to get information out of her, like, does Dimitris know about this? Does Gary know about this? And Ike was like, look, I'm not giving up any names. And she was like, well, fine, Dumbo. And then Ika was like, well, you're calling me Dumbo, but I'm not the one on the block. So even that relationship has dissolved. Huh? Yeah, I know, right? Cass, I love you, but you're just playing a messy game.
Does
there's
big
nowhere
ears?
For her to turn. I know she's playing a messy game, but I feel like her hands are tied by the fact that Netta is immune, because obviously the people would naturally assume that there would be some sort of a cat fight between Netta and Cass where they could go after each other and maybe we could hide behind that. But again, Netta's immune, so Cass has no play here.
Taryn, what do you think of this for Cass? What if she goes up to Dylan and gets in his face and is like, hey, you know what, stupid? I'm coming for you. You don't scare me, you big Dumbo, you.
You goofy F.
Yeah, yeah, you knuckle dragger.
Well, probably undermined by the fact that Dimitris is still in the house and can be like, hey, this is exactly what she told me to do.
Hey, he didn't say that about Dallas last week.
I guess
right.
So.
Speaking of that really quickly, I wanted to say that Dylan and Emily, I tweeted something and Arissa actually favored this, that Netta was saying, you know, why should we go after Dylan and Emily when our targets are so willing to go after them for us. And I said, I retweeted it with the quote, not anymore, they're not. And that's true. And that's what she favored it. I don't feel like that because of this swing at Cass, I don't feel like Dylan and Emily are the targets anymore for the Williams and Dreas of the world. I really don't. I feel like that the bigger targets are Netta, even though she's safe, and by extension, Bruno and Kevin. I feel like those are the targets now, and those people would be put on the block if ever somebody from the French Connection or their allies got power.
That is true, but the French Connection and their allies have substantially dwindled. Yes, it's basically
going to take a miracle. Yeah,
it's basically William and Dre who are willing to make a move. Maybe Karen, maybe Gary. But beyond those people, nobody's going to make a move. Everybody else, Dylan, Emily, and now Jackie are all sort of, firmly under the control of that six-person alliance. So they're going to either need an HOH to strike a blow at those six, or they're going to really need to get under Ika's skin or something.
Right.
They have to split
them
up somehow.
We haven't really talked about her. Yeah, Ika's the one who I am just amazed at her gameplay, and it's very intriguing, Rob. Just the amount of, and by the way, I do agree with Taryn that the odds for a shakeup this next week are very slim, unless somebody from the French Connection or possibly Karen win HOH, which of course I never get my way, so I, you know, who's that? I'm sure that'll probably never happen.
Was Big Brother OTT not a thing?
Yeah, well, I got my way in that. You're right. I can only get my way once a year, so I don't know. Like I said, it feels a little bit like Solitaire at this point. It just feels like that the best players...
The Fox Reality Channel show?
Yeah, they're just...
Oh,
like,
such
a
good
just,
show.
They're just doing their own thing. They're not worrying about anything. They've got everybody under control. It's no fun to watch a war when the other side isn't warring with you. It's just,
I don't know. I like it.
Good.
I love the positioning. Like, last week was so chaotic and none of it, like, it was all inconsequential. But this week, there's so much setting up and positioning for future gameplay. I love it. I love the position. I love that Bruno and Kevin are trying to, like, grab their pieces. You know, Ned is trying to set herself up. You got Ika running around, going back and forth. You got Cindy kind of sitting there, kind of hoping that, you know, she rides this out pretty far. And then you've got, like, the outliers. You've got, like, the Jon Snows of, like, Dre and William, who are, like, trying to battle these titans. It's awesome. I love it.
Jon Snow.
Yeah. I know, right? That was a reach. Whatever.
I'm comparing, because it's like Game of Thrones. There's so much complexity to it. I love it.
Okay. All right. Let's do a couple of questions before we start to wind down. This is from Kirsten. What's the most surprising difference between the feeds and the edit so far? Taryn, what's one thing for people who are not following the feeds super closely that you could tell us?
What's the biggest thing people would be
shocked if they watched a couple hours of the feeds?
I guess, you know, if you haven't seen any of the feeds, you probably have a much higher opinion of Emily than you might otherwise. They kind of, especially in the last couple episodes, portrayed her as somebody that really, like, saved herself and really did a lot of work to bury Dallas, which wasn't really the case. She's really kind of been a wallflower for the most part. But the edit has portrayed her to be a much bigger part of the show than she really has been.
Okay,
right. And she actually played really bad last week and would have gone home if Dallas wasn't such a horrible player himself. I didn't really like many of the moves she made, except for the one where she was trying to get Dylan to say that they planned the whole fake fight. That was the only positive thing that she did. Cass would obviously be the other person that I feel like the edit has been relatively kind to. Cass played a really messy game. The show really hasn't showed us that. They showed her, you know, having Dimitri's and making him do what she wanted him to do, when in reality that really wasn't what was happening. The only thing that I think she ever really caused was Dimitri's going up to Dylan and causing that fight, but he was already annoyed with him in the first place. It wasn't like it came out of thin air. So I think they would be most surprised about Cass's game.
Yeah. Luna in the chat put it really well. She said, feeds have been nonstop gaming and the show has been sponsored filler. Like, and somebody else said, like, based on the episodes, they would have thought that there was very little gameplay going on.
Right.
We're seeing very little of what's actually, like, probably even less than we usually
even
do.
Even Ika. We're not even seeing much of Ika. Ika's been going back. Yeah. I lost my train of thought, but Ika's been an amazing double agent for me because she's been telling the six basically what everybody on the other side of the house is thinking, and then she's sort of told Gary everything that this side of the house is thinking. By the way, when Kevin was with Gary, Kevin told Gary that he and Bruno picked up Dylan and Emily and they sort of made a deal together. So it's amazing to me the level of honesty that Kevin is willing to give Gary, even though, as Taryn correctly points out, that Gary isn't totally loyal to Kevin. Although, if Gary ever got power, I don't think he would ever go after Kevin.
Let me check in with you guys. Tonight we got to see a food competition. I feel like, and a lot of times you guys do these podcasts with Jordan, I feel like I get hit a lot of, Rob is always saying get rid of food competitions. Well, you know what? Food competitions are great. They do so much. Brent, what's the check-in tonight? Thumbs up or thumbs down on this food competition?
Thumbs down, mainly because it felt a little bit tilted. Like, you know, people like Dylan were obviously not going to throw any balls at Emily, or not the kind of he wants to anyway.
Whoa.
So I just thought that it was not, there wasn't a lot of point to the people on the side. I mean, if your ally is traveling across, you're really, especially if they're a close ally, you're not going to want to throw the ball at them. So of course everybody was throwing their damn balls at Cass because no one likes her. But that, on the other hand, that's more her gameplay more than anything that's causing that.
Taryn, what do you think?
You know, I tweeted this out. It's just like every once in a while I'm reminded that like this show is just about like humiliating these people as much as possible by putting them in the most absurd situations. And it's just like this just really felt like, ha, look at them and laugh. Look how ridiculous they look. It was just like, ah.
And also,
I don't think it
didn't translate to TV very well. I couldn't tell who was ahead and who was behind. Like Cass looked like she did really good. And then they were like, sorry, Cass, you're a have not. So it was so stupid.
I had no idea what was going on other than the fact that they were in big fat suits.
It's just one of those things that does not, Big Brother Canada is usually very good about this, where the things that they have, like the Oreo competition, look so good on TV. You can see exactly what was happening. Something like this, it was a fun idea in theory, but in practice, it just didn't hit where I wanted it to hit.
Yeah, and it was also like, let's put them in fat suits, and it's high school, and then let's throw balls at them. I don't know. I think they lost the thread on that one. All right, John Densford, wasn't Netta's hand forced? You can't let someone build an army against you. Brent, do you argue with this? Did Netta have a choice?
She had a choice not to win HOH. Once she won HOH, I agree with Taryn, she had to take the swing at Cass. That's where I'm at right now. I question her initial decision to even go for this HOH in the first place. She could have easily gotten out at any damn point. She didn't. She wanted to take the power into her own hands. And once she did, her move was made for her. Like I said, it's so funny because I haven't done a show with you in such a long time that I forgot, like, we can't talk spoilers in this section. And so my mind is racing about like what I've seen on the feeds. Ika got really mad at Netta for nominating Cass after the ceremony because Ika was like, look, you know, these were your nominations. And Netta felt offended by that. She was like, well, we all talked about it. And Ika was like, but no, you really had your mind made up. So like, I don't like that you saying you came to talk to us about it when you really didn't. And then Netta raced to Kevin and Bruno to say, look, I can't play with somebody like that. You know, and then she's afraid that Ika is telling Gary that he's going to be the replacement nominee 5 minutes after Ika already did that. So that if I would point out any mistakes that Netta has made this week, it's telling too much truth to Ika, because Ika is not to be trusted.
I think that Cass being on the block has revealed just how like necessary it was to get Cass out this week, because it's exposing a lot of cracks. Like, this easily could have broken Cass's way. She really has six votes that are willing to vote for her. She has people that if she'd given another week, she easily could have reeled in. Netta has been able to strike at her early enough that nobody's willing to stick their neck out to save Cass, and that's really important. The Cass leaving has opened the game up so much for people like Netta and Kevin and Bruno. I think it's a very, very necessary move. Could Netta have gotten away with not doing it? Sure. But I think that she had to go for it, especially with Gary in that final three. And I think the fact that she's immune negates a lot of the disadvantages of being the one to do it, and also has the added benefit of giving her something on her resume during these weeks when she's immune.
You know, I'm a little surprised to hear you guys. I mean, it's only Monday night. The eviction is Thursday. I almost feel like that this is like one of the shows that we would do during the summer, like on a Wednesday night where, okay, well, the vote's tomorrow. It's a done deal. Cass is out of the house. I mean, Taryn, you're talking about Cass in the past tense. Like it's a 100% lock that she's gone. Do you give her any chance to be able to get out of this?
Honestly, I do give her a chance.
Your hero, Dan Gieseling, says there's always a way out.
Yes. And I, you know, I thought about that before this podcast started.
So
I was
what
like,
is it?
This really could be the podcast where we look back and we go, wow, we really jumped the gun there. Because again, like Cass has Dre, she has potentially William, she has Ika, she has Dimitris, who's not like totally set against her. She's got people like Karen, who doesn't like Jackie.
Karen really doesn't like Cass, though.
That it's very true. Karen is also very fickle. I think that, you know, there is easily enough people that could build a movement. And again, she's got Gary. There are enough people to flip this house. All she needs to do is start the movement, and she's kind of tried, but she hasn't really gotten them together in the right way. Obviously, it's very difficult, especially when so many people are not willing to stick their necks out. And that's, again, that's why I think it was so important to do this early.
I feel like in any scenario, she needs Kevin and Bruno, and they're just not willing to go against Ned at this point. But her best play to me, this is if I had to go in the house and, you know, show her, okay, this is the path I want you to take. She needs to make an argument that Jackie is somebody who's going to float to the end, that no one's ever going to go after because she's not really attached to anybody. If you're sitting on the block next to Jackie, she needs to put the fear of freaking God into Bruno or Kevin that if they're sitting on the block next to Jackie, they're going to go home. So keep somebody like Cass in the house, who's a huge target, who everybody hates, who wants to get her out, and that would be her best path to stay. The problem, Rob, is getting to 6 votes. I can find 3 or 4 votes for her. That's not a problem. 6 votes is tough, especially when one of the main reasons you'd want to do this is to strike back at the HOH, or at least play the middle of the house. But there really isn't a middle of the house unless your name is Ika at this point. It's more the house with like the French Connection over here. There's just not enough balance right now.
Yeah, Netta pulled the textbook move, which is, you know, pulling Cass's ally and Jackie away from her, using her as a pawn. And the textbook move to counter that is to say, now look, guys, you have to keep me. Jackie is on their side now. She's not helping us at all. I'm the only one that can help us. And she's kind of tried to do that. She's kind of tried to throw Jackie under the bus, but it hasn't really worked. And like, that's the thing. Like, she'll never get the French Connection fully on her side. She'll never get people like Gary fully on her side until she makes it clear to other people that Jackie is now with Netta. Jackie is now with Gary, with Bruno and Kevin. And if she gets that into their head, if she really accurately points out they now have control of the whole house, because they do, that's what could possibly get them to say, yeah, you know what, maybe we do need to make a stand here and flip. But I don't see it happening.
She needs to make sure that Jackie is seen as their puppet. And here are the 6 votes she needs. She needs William and Dre. She needs Gary, she needs Ika and Dimitris, and she needs Karen. If she can get those 6 votes, those are her lifelines. If she can't get those, the game is over.
And is she resisting quite a bit in terms of, is she like fighting tooth and nail, or has she sort of given up? Because I actually think that, I know it's counterintuitive, I think that if she comes across like she's accepted her fate, I think that helps her more in this situation.
She has been sort of accepting her fate a little bit, wouldn't you agree, Taryn? Earlier today on the feeds, she was just sitting
because
in
you
her
need
room
the house
up
to
the
come
sky.
Around and say, you know what? Cass isn't that bad.
Well, she's got, I feel like her best play is to sort of pull the Zach, and not that Zach did anything to save himself, he's freaking asleep,
right?
Back in Big Brother 16.
But
she
that's
needs to,
good.
Right. Yeah. She needs to just lay low for a couple days. It's Monday. Wait till Wednesday morning-ish, Wednesday afternoon. That's when to make your play. Let Jackie be seen as the puppet of Netta and those people over there. And then say, look, I know you don't like me. I know you don't think I'm loyal. The problem is that Cass doesn't have enough self-awareness. She doesn't have enough self-awareness to realize that she's seen as disloyal by the people she's going to be arguing to. So she needs to take that out of the equation. I heard her earlier today, Taryn, talking about, you know, what did I do wrong? Everyone's blaming me for everything. And I'm like, honey, have you not seen your game for the past 3 weeks?
Yeah.
She's done a lot of, like, rationalizing for why this is happening.
Stop that.
Like, I'm too popular. I'm too good with the fans. Like, my fans won't care. Like, I'm the entertaining one. All these other people are boring. She's been intentionally antagonizing people. You know, making fun of Netta. You know, being really laying into Kevin earlier today. The point where even some of her fans were like, I don't know about this. It's not what she needs to be doing right now. There's a lot that she can be doing, and she's not really doing any of it.
Okay, and last thing, Taryn, Nicolette in the chat room wanted to know, can you explain why the whole house is on slop right now?
Oh, yes. So, who was it? Somebody talked back to Big Brother. They've been talking too much about past house guests.
Talking back to Big Brother. Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, you know, like JP's infamous, FU Big Brother. I think there was one of those. So they reprimanded the entire house. I believe even Netta is on slop right now. And that's why Cass is going around like dancing, like, ha ha ha. All you guys are on slop. Ha ha. So.
Bitches.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, it can't hurt her at this point. I mean, if I'm just putting on the tinfoil hat for a second, because there've been plenty of people, hello JP, to say F you, Big Brother.
I don't remember at all, by the way.
Oh, really?
He was very upset about it.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I just feel like that maybe they're doing this to cause a little, because I just tweeted yesterday. I said, you know, I was the one time I tweeted at Arissa. I'm like, Arissa, this is really boring. The feeds are boring. And they have been boring because we feel like Cass is going home. We need a damn twist to save her. So I don't feel like they're going to give us a twist, but they are going to reprimand these people for saying F you, Big Brother, and putting everybody on slop, which is going to make everybody pissed off. Aika does not do well when she's on slop. So let's see what happens. I feel like that they're putting a little tinder in the box to see if there's a possible explosion.
Okay. Look, I think that a little bit of unrest can only help her. I think that's from like the Russell Hantz school of, you know, the
burn the socks.
Yeah, burning the socks. I think that's going to be good. Taryn, do you think that Arissa is in a production meeting tomorrow morning saying, you know, there's this guy on my timeline, Brent. he's making some sense. I got an idea.
Yeah. I think I remember him last season, like, yelling at me a lot, but he's really making a lot of sense now.
He's like, yeah, you know, look, he's kind of like Cass.
Yeah, I know. It's so hard for me because I really want to defend Cass's game. I just can't.
I understand, Brent. It's a very relatable situation that you're in.
You've saved me a lot of hassle. You know, people would be hating on me right now if I had to take the aggressive point on Cass's game.
I just wonder, seriously speaking, though, is this going to come back to bite Netta? Is she going to be able to slide back into the background? I know it's a great
big
move.
Question.
She's played a textbook. But, you know, Big Brother is so rarely textbook. I mean, the only person I can really think of who is textbook was like Derek from Big Brother 16. But that was Big Brother USA. Canada is known to switch things up.
Taryn, I think that Netta has put herself in the position that if she wins this game, I think that we will talk about it as this will be one of the greatest Big Brother victories in the history of the show. I feel like that she has decided to take the harder road to get to where she wants to go.
You said that about Andy. I remember when we were talking about Andy during his season. You said, you know, if Andy is able to pull this off, I know people really don't like him, but we'll look back and really admire this game. And, you know, that's true. We do. We look back at Andy's game, and at the time I hated him, but now I just look back at his game and I'm like, that was such a masterclass in Big Brother. I'm hoping that Netta can pull it off. Like I said, I'm feeling a little bit bored because I just feel like that there is like a couple great players and they're all together and they're not really playing against anybody.
That's gonna fracture.
I need Gary and Aika to get pissed off. I need Gary and Aika to draw the line.
It's a long season.
Say, we're coming after you. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather see the good players eventually turn on each other, you know, using the pawns than have like.
There's
some
no
of
chance
the...
that does not happen. I think they're all being very smart. I love where Bruno and Kevin are at right now. I'm pulling for Netta, but I wonder if this was just like too big and too aggressive of a move at this point. That Cass is so diminished at this point. You know where was
she really
going?
Is. Like, who does Cass have?
Well, I mean, I think if Cass stayed, she would get back people like Gary and Ika and Dimitri's, and she, you know, she currently has Dre and even potentially William. I think Cass was a dangerous player. She's only not dangerous because she's on her way out the door. You can't, you know, you can't say, well, yeah, no, now she's not dangerous. Now we don't need her out. I really think this was the best move for Netta, even if it, you know, there's obviously risks that come with it, but I think the safety that she has negates a lot of those risks. It's the move I would have made. I think it's probably the better one than, you know, staying back and letting the safety carry her to Jury. I'm optimistic for her chances still.
Would Dan Gheesling have made this move here in week three?
I don't know. Dan Gheesling was never really safe for this long. So, you know, maybe not. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little apples and oranges, but I don't feel like Dan makes this move. I feel like he's somebody who's going to want to try to look as weak as possible. Look, this is the thing that I must argue to you, Rob and Taryn, is that Netta's worried about, well, you know, if I get to the end of the game, I don't want people to say I just got a free pass from Canada. Girl, your resume is already written. People already know that you're the best player never to win this game. If you get to the end, they're gonna give you the money.
Yeah, you would have won the game last time, and you did nothing in the first half of the game. So
exactly,
I think that
like if she's able to make it past the first jury member to the end, that is a murderer's row of people. They would gladly give her the money at the end. This is not going to matter. I don't know why she had to do it, but let's see what happens from here.
It's like, oh, you know, but if I make $1 million next year, I'm going to have to pay so many taxes. You know, it's like, you worry about that when you get there. It's not something to concern yourself with too much. Okay. All right. So great job. This was so much fun. I'm really excited to get back into this. Great live audience here. We had over 700 people watching live on a Monday night for Big Brother Canada. So that's really fantastic. So thank you guys so much who were enjoying the live version of the show. If you want to make sure you don't miss any more of these, of course, we're actually broadcasting here on the Rehap Ups channel. So if you're not subscribed to that, you may want to hit the subscribe button on YouTube. For the podcast version, robiswebsite.com/rehapups for the Rehap Ups feed to make sure you get all of this. Busy week of podcasting ahead. I am going to be having the latest Survivor player lost. I won't say their name because I don't want to spoil in case you haven't watched Survivor with David Bloomberg. I have a bonus podcast. I spoke with Andrea Belke and Meg Malley, that the Big Brother Survivor crossover, that they have another charity event coming up next month in New York City, and they told me about what was going on with that. News AF, and then we'll get back into the Survivor know-it-alls. No Stephen Fishback this week. David Wright will be joining me here in the studio for the Survivor know-it-all, so that should be very fun. We'll do our exit interview, our recap, our voicemail, all that coming up, and the return of The Amazing Race. Jessica Lease will be back with me to talk about the blind date edition of Amazing Race. Taryn, you follow Amazing Race?
I do, yeah.
Okay. You pumped up for blind date season, or you think that this was the OTT of Amazing Race?
I feel like it was somewhat successful the first time they tried it. I don't know why they're acting like it's totally unprecedented, given that they basically tried it before, but,
but
you know, we'll see what happens.
That was half.
Yeah, well, only half.
Okay.
And I do want to mention, if you want to see why Alex Kidwell was bullied and everything, you can find my YouTube page, Taryn Armstrong, on YouTube.
Why he was bullied, or the fact that he was reacting to reading about being bullied?
Basically, Dom of the Dom and Colin podcast reads out a whole Reddit thread about how Alex Kidwell is being bullied by Jordan and many other interesting tidbits, and you get to see Alex's reactions the whole way through. And I also have some more videos coming up from New York, so hopefully that'll be fun.
Okay.
Well, if Taryn gets the plug, I want to plug too. Me, Mike Bloom, and Liana Boros did the first recap of RuPaul's Drag Race. It's on VH1 now. Everybody should be able to watch it. It was a really highly rated episode, so I feel like I was a little nervous about the move from Logo to VH1, but it got great ratings, and so I'm pumped up for it. It was a really fun episode. You guys should check that out.
Do we know anything about the Big Brother Canada ratings, Brent?
No, but I haven't heard anything bad, so I assume they must be pretty good. Okay. Taryn, do you know anything about the ratings?
I haven't seen anything. I feel like that's a good story
if I haven't seen anything. I feel like there would be people bemoaning the fact that the ratings were bad if they were terrible.
Yeah. All right, check that out. That's on the Rehap Ups feed as well if you want to get the RuPaul's Drag Race, or it has its own podcast feed as well. Everything's up on robhaswebsite.com. All right. So anything else? I don't think so. Thanks again to everybody who joined us live. We've got the Rob Has a Patron Cast coming up for you patrons on Tuesday night. So I'll be busy with that. Have a great night, everybody. Take care. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.